Robin Ayers is an entertainment reporter, motivational speaker, and author originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Robin had a troubled childhood, and television was her escape. She loved seeing the colors and bright lights because it was one of the few things that made her happy. Then, at the age of 4, Robin was sent off to California, where suddenly she was in the same place that she had seen on TV. She made it her mission to be part of the industry that helped bring so much light into her life when all she knew was darkness. How did Robin climb the ladder and find herself interviewing some of the world's top celebrities? Well, it was a positive attitude, a hunger to learn, and the power of saying yes. I'm Bobby Gonzalez, and this is Spoken Dreams.
Hi, everyone. My name is Robin Ayers, and I am an entertainment reporter. I'm a motivational speaker as well as an author. I lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's right, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was nowhere near California. I did not know what the entertainment business was. I didn't know what Hollywood was. I started out in my early childhood, really, just it was very traumatic for me. It was sort of gloomy and dark. That's how I describe it, as just a dark sort of childhood. I grew up with an abusive father, and it was always very angry in the household. It was just this somber mood. And the way that I would escape most times would be to go to the television. I would watch cartoons and look at all the beautiful colors. And there's also a show that I used to watch called Soul Train. They had this opening of the show that had floodlights, and it was something about it. It was like red carpet type stuff. And I was like, what is that? All I knew is that at the age of 5, I would watch this show and something was drawing me to it. And I just knew that I wanted to be a part of that. And it made me feel good. It had a way of taking me away from what felt negative around me and in my environment. And it brought me to something that made me happy. My family decided to send me to come to California and live with my grandparents while they stayed behind. My sister and brother needed to finish school. So they said, well, let's send the little one forward. And I was only 4 years old when I came to California. So I was very young. And I was actually, when I got to California, I was there for 6 months before my family even came. So it was a brand new environment for me. And didn't really know that Hollywood was right in my backyard until one day I'm in the car. And as we drove down the freeway, I remember seeing the floodlights in the sky. And it was those same familiar floodlights that I had seen on TV for so many years. And instantly when I saw it, it made me feel good. And to see it in real life, to see it in person, I said, I know that that feeling, that thing that drew me on the television is right here now. Around about high school, I still didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I was a little lost, and I know that that's a familiar feeling for a lot of people, but the thing that I knew to do was to go directly to what felt most comfortable, what was my next best step. And for me, that was fashion. I was always styling myself and styling other people. So I took that and went to fashion school, and I learned the ins and outs of fashion and all the business side and merchandising and all that stuff. And it was really fun. And so what I did after that was I put my hustle hat on. I went, you know, after I graduated from fashion school, I started hustling and I started networking and I started meeting anybody that I could and getting around different people in the entertainment business. And what that allowed me to do was get an internship for a movie. That was unbelievable for me because I'm right here in the moment. All of those moments that I had seen as a child, I'm right here now and I'm looking all around it. And what I learned early on was that there's a lot more work and a lot less glamour than what I thought. It was definitely a lot of hustle and bustle. The directors yelling cut and the actors having mishaps with their clothes and, you know, different things happening. And it astounded me to see that there was a lot of work that was put behind it to what we all saw on TV. You know, that really interested me. That was my first real taste of entertainment, and I loved it. And after the internship, I did more networking, and I landed an internship with a woman named Dawn Haynes, who she had a creative agency, and she represented stylists and makeup artists and hairstylists. And I was right up under her, and I learned so much from her. And I never really thought about it until later on, but all of the pieces of the puzzle always fit together. You know, you never understand why you're experiencing something, why you're seeing something, but it all fits together in the end. After all of that fashion for me, which I still loved, and I still love to this day, I got married and I had twin daughters. They are now 11 years old, but at that time, I decided that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. So that meant leaving everything behind. That meant no more fashion, no more floodlights, no more red carpets, none of that fun, glamorous stuff. That meant stay at home with these babies and make sure that they're okay. And I did that for 2 whole years. I stayed home. And during that time, I really did lose a lot of myself and a lot of my identity. And I just really didn't know where I fit in the world anymore. And I think that happens to a lot of women. We sort of lose our way in life. No matter what the circumstances are, you sort of lose your way. And that definitely happened to me. And when it was time for my girls to get back into school, I said, I have to get back out there. I still had goals and I still had a passion for that glamour. Or I don't know if it was the glamour. I don't know what it was, but it was still drawing me there. And I knew that I had to get back out into the field. I had to network. And I started to go to little parties here and there and meet different people here and there and hang out. But for me, that was the name of the game. Just meet people, don't have any motives, just really get to know people and be a likable person, because if you're likable, everybody wants you around. And if you have nothing to gain from anyone but knowledge and just true friendship, they'll always want to have you around. So I happened to be around a lot of sets and different things like that. And that ultimately led me to a wonderful opportunity that I had gotten with the Norwood family, Sonia Norwood and Willie Norwood and their children, Ray J and Brandy. And I actually interned when I first started out there. Now, the interesting thing about that is a lot of people would look at me and say, you're a mom, you're a wife, and you are interning. You don't go back and you don't get a job. You intern, really? I laugh at it now, but that, you know, that's not a good feeling when people are kind of looking at you sideways. Like, what are you doing? That didn't feel so good. But what it did for me was it got me back into the flow of things. And it got me back into the mode of the desire that I always had. And some opportunities sprang up for me. They were at the time they were filming a show on VH1 called Family Business. And I was there. I was there every single day while the show was shooting and the cameras are around. And once again, I find myself right there again near the entertainment business and again behind the scenes. And I'm looking at everything and it was all really great for me. I'm so grateful for that experience. But one day I'm in the office and in walks this guy, and He happens to be one of Ray J's best friends. His name is JoJo. And JoJo, he comes to me and he says, hey, I need you to order me a pizza. And I'm like, I'm not going to order you a pizza. I'm not your secretary. I'm not going to order you a pizza. And anyway, it became sort of a joke and we laughed it off. But that was our first introduction to one another. And because of that, because we both, you know, had a sort of humor about it, we became good friends. And turns out JoJo was a young guy, but he was the executive producer of one of the largest shows on VH1 and one of Ray J's best friends. And because of the relationship that we had built, he sort of became like a mentor for me right there in the office. It was amazing. One day, JoJo called me up and he said, hey, I am shooting this show for Showtime. And I need you to do me a favor. And he said, do you know who Keith Sweat is? And I said, yeah, I grew up on Keith Sweat and on his music. And, you know, I know everything about him. He says, great. Well, I need you to interview him tomorrow. And I'm like, what do you mean interview? I've never interviewed anybody in my life. And he says, well, I have faith in you. I know you can do it. Just go to the internet and look up everything that you can on Keith Sweat. Come up with some great questions. Email me and I'll see you tomorrow. It kind of went just something like that. And I couldn't believe that I was in this position, but I said yes. I didn't know what I was doing, how to do it, but I said yes, the most important thing of all. And I went to Google and I started finding out as much information as I could. And I started coming up with some clever things. One of my strongest suits was always to be conversational with people rather than very, you know, interviewee or ask questions like that. It's just I have a great strength in conversation. So the next day I showed up happy, dressed well, put on a great front like I've been there before, but no, I hadn't. And to my surprise, it was a huge production. This whole crew, this green screen, and there is Keith Sweat, who I had never met before. And, you know, we introduced ourselves, and Keith did not know that this was my first time interviewing anyone. And I certainly was not going to tell him that this was my first time. So I sat there, I began interviewing him, and it was easy peasy. I couldn't believe how easy it was. And maybe a part of that was him making me feel so comfortable, but I couldn't believe how easy it was to have this conversation, but I was still getting the answers that I needed. And when it was done, we were all wrapping up, and the crew, one of the crew members, he looked at me and he says, wow, have you been doing this a long time? And I said, no, actually, it's my very first interview. And he could not believe it. He said, are you serious? You need to consider doing this. And I was just like, okay, well, didn't know anything about it. Did not know the first thing of how to get involved with it. All I knew is that I was doing a favor for my friend JoJo, and it landed me here. So I thought it was great. I was really happy for myself and proud of myself that I did something, and really amazed, like, wow, not many people can say that they just interviewed sort of an icon that they grew up listening to. So I took it as just that, just an opportunity. And I go home and carry on with my normal life. And probably a week or so later, JoJo calls me back up and he says, hey, now tomorrow, I think I need you to interview Magic Johnson. I kind of had the same reaction as the first time. Are you serious, JoJo? Are you kidding me? And he says, well, now I know you can do it. Now I know you can interview Magic because you just did it and you did a great job with interviewing Keith. And I said, you know what? All right, let's do it. I arrived at Magic Johnson's office the next day, and I'm sitting here in the enterprises of this man and in this amazing office that he has. There's all these people around. Everyone's quiet and just listening to the two of us. So the spotlight is on. And the interview was amazing. And it made me feel really, really good. And that's when it hit me. I said, this is what I need to do. This conversational interviewing is very easy for me, but I love it. And I love digging in and finding out more about people and what makes them tick. After that, I had no more opportunities from JoJo, but I created more opportunities for myself. I said, you know, I've been in and around LA for quite some time. Either I know people or I know someone who knows someone. So I called up a few friends of mine in Hollywood and they said yes. And I had it, you know, professionally edited down, and it was just great. I started putting it on social media. And one day I got a text message from Brandy Norwood, who is a great friend of mine now. And she had seen an interview that I did with her father, Willie Norwood. And when Brandy saw that interview, she sent me a text and she said, I love what you did with my dad and I want to support you. You should do an interview with me. And I jumped at that because we're talking about Brandy Norwood, the vocal Bible. It was an amazing opportunity. And we did that interview. And that literally is what launched my career. in broadcast journalism. And that was, I'm really grateful to Brandy to this day for that opportunity. And I'm also grateful for JoJo for even lending me the opportunity that sort of sparked the idea that I could even do this. It feels really good to learn from the very bottom and working my way up. Although I've done many red carpets now and I've done many shows and interviews and things like that, I still look around and I'm like, how did I get here? You know? And it's, I don't know, the grace of God. And I think that also my belief system, the ways that I believe my life can move me forward, has come to pass. I've become a motivational speaker now, and that is based on my childhood to where I am now. Technically, statistically, I should not be here. I should be either a drug addict like my father, like my sister. I should be in the streets running with gangs like my brother. If those were my surroundings, then why am I here? And I believe that because of what I thought in my mind, where I wanted to be, I held true to that. And I believe that drew those things to me. And I believe the same thing about everybody else, that you can make your life be whatever it is that you want to be according to what you believe. The pieces of the puzzle in your life, they're all fitting together to create this masterpiece. Sometimes you don't even know why you're going through something. Sometimes it does hurt. Sometimes it is painful. Sometimes you don't want to go through it, and you might question why you're going through something, but you will find out if you just keep going. You will find out that it was for a reason. Have in mind what you want to do. Take steps toward what you want to do. Say yes when the opportunity presents itself. Say yes and learn along the way, but don't fight things. Don't be resentful, not bitter, or because you aren't where you think you should be. Just go with it, and it will ultimately turn you around and get you to where you need to be.
That was Robin Ayers. To continue following along with Robin's journey, find her details on our website, ktla.com/spokendreams. I hope you'll check us out on social media at Spoken Dreams Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and don't forget to give us a like on the Spoken Dreams Facebook page. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and there you can also subscribe to KTLA's other podcast, Frank Buckley Interviews. New episodes of Spoken Dreams drop every Monday morning. That's it for this week, so until next time, break a leg. Spoken Dreams is produced by me, Bobby Gonzalez, for the KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles. Executive producers are Olson Ebright and Jason Ball. And I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you thought of this week's story, or even tell me your own story. You can shoot me an email at spokendreams@ktla.com.